If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Oh, I like that. Coming out strong, Blake Schneiders. Coming out strong on a Sunday. Coming out like Tyson Fury. Just throwing a knockdown at 9 o'clock in the morning. Ugh, love it! Love it. I didn't get much sleep last night, so I didn't know what my excitement level was going to be. Now I'm stoked. I'm ready to rock. Awesome. Awesome way to start your Sunday. You're out heading to kids' basketball games or heading to church or services of some kind. You got to like that. That's the way to roll out of the rack. Awesome. This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Crank it out 50,000 watts. You can listen worldwide by getting the app at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show today. I got a good one lined up for you. We had a great day in sports yesterday. I mean, not only locally, but across the country, just awesome. We're going to start with Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence here in just a minute, talking about those Kansas Jayhawks going on the road, knocking off number one Baylor. Got a little tight at the end there. Got a little close, too close for comfort. But they got it done. Made some big free throws. Three of the top four teams in the country lost yesterday, which made it an exciting day. KU the one to survive. So we got that to talk about with Kevin. Later on at 10:30, Richard Baldinger, former Chiefs offensive lineman, will join us in the show. We'll talk. There's still room to talk Super Bowl. We're still excited about that. We also got pending free agency. What are the Chiefs going to do about Chris Jones? How long do they wait to get Patrick Mahomes the biggest contract in the history of the National Football League? We'll talk with Baldy about that. Also, the new CBA, are they really going to play 17 games? Unless there's a lot more money on the table, the players are going to question that, or they're going to ask for other things in the bargaining. So we'll talk with Richard at 10:30. We'll talk KU over Baylor. We'll talk three of the top four teams losing. We'll hit a little Royal Spring training. We'll hear from Dayton Moore and new manager Mike Matheny. We'll talk Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, which was awesome. We had Craig Cummings on the show yesterday to talk about it. He was fantastic. We'll talk about a 42-year-old Zamboni driver who got into an NHL game and got a win. He was the emergency goalkeeper. Those guys never play. He got into a game and he got a win. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Astros getting heckled at spring training. Already had another sign-stealing scandal. As in the people who run the complex were taking signs away from the fans that were meant to be demeaning to the Astros. So stealing signs, a different kind, but you get it. Sure, I'm the first one to ever come up with that joke. And we'll talk, maybe throw in a little golf later today with the WGC Mexico Championship going on. I think that's the tournament where Matt Kuchar won last year and then stiffed his fill-in caddy. So a little bit of everything, plus our favorite 80s birthdays. Right now, we'll bring in Kevin Romery, who's kind enough to join us early on a Sunday morning. Kevin, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. So KU gets the win, 64-61, on the road against number one Baylor. And you would look at that box score and think, well, that's a pretty average night in college basketball score-wise. But I was talking with Kenitra Pulliams yesterday, who was on the team playing. And I asked her, you know, Bill Self said after the game, you know, these guys are exhausted. And she said every player on that team got on the plane and fell asleep. I mean, that was a physically, as physical a demanding game as I've seen in a long time. It was highly entertaining. It was thrilling. It came down to the wire, and what a win for Kansas.
And they was. They got on the bus at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
That's about the time my five-year-old takes a nap every day.
Yep. Perfect.
Bill has used this term forever, Brad. You've heard it a thousand times, but I mean that was some big boy basketball, right?
Yes.
I mean that game, that thing was just a slugfest from the start. KU did a great job of grabbing control early and just never the Bears just couldn't get over the hump. It was just one of those weird games where they were always right there with a chance to either tie it or take the lead. And, you know, the end of both halves, if you're a Kansas fan, was terrifying because you saw that 8 or 9 point lead in the first half just dwindle down to, I think it was 34-31, with just a couple of quick buckets racing to the other end. You thought, oh, God, it took Kansas how long to build that lead? And in 60 seconds, it's basically just down to one shot. And then quickly in the second half, kind of the same deal. Kansas builds it back up, and, oh, man, why is it? Why is it? And it feels like every college basketball, even NBA games between good teams, you just try to hang on at the end sometimes. And, man, the last 20 seconds, and I know Ochai had a pass he'd like to have back that made that real made it real uncomfortable. But somehow the Jayhawks survived. Bill usually doesn't foul at the end of games. He let the Bears get off of a pretty decent look in that situation.
Yep.
But in the end, the craziest crowd in the history of the Farrell Center goes home very, very unhappy. I was on a different show a couple of days ago, and Brad, that was one a game where I wouldn't have wanted to bet on that game. I think that's a 50-50 game every time they play.
Absolutely.
And clearly they played twice. They've each won on the other's home floor when the crowd was just ridiculous. But it just kind of felt like I'd kind of mentioned on the show, and I just said, Baylor's had this streak for so long. They're just due to lose one. It's going to happen at some point before the tournament. And I said, for Kansas, you look back over time, and Jayhawks win those games a lot, don't they?
Yep.
They really do. And yesterday just seemed kind of like what was supposed to happen. Now, and we heard it a couple times yesterday, these teams may see each other one, maybe two more times, which would be incredible. But, it was a really fun college basketball game to watch.
We're speaking with Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence, Kansas. The Jayhawks get a win 64-61 over Baylor. And you mentioned the close nature of the game. I think they took a cutaway of Bill Self after Agbaji threw that wild pass there at the end of the game, and he was not real pleased with it. But I also thought it was interesting when they got the win at West Virginia, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Bill Self said after the game that was the best road win he's had during his time at Kansas, which kind of caught people's attention because KU's had a lot of big road wins during his time at Kansas. But looking at the reaction, I love the locker room videos teams do now. You look at the reaction. Bill Self walked into the locker room after the game last night, and he's kind of got a smile, and he's walking in like, hey, guys, what's going on? And then he went berserk, and it was crazy. So I'm thinking this game might have topped the West Virginia win a couple of weeks ago.
I think he had a cup of water or something in his hand. He just throws it up in the air after being real nonchalant. It just goes buck wild, and everybody starts going crazy. Around him, unbelievable stat to me that's the first road game against the number one ranked team that Kansas has played against in 60 or 70 years. Was in the 50s or something?
1958 when K-State was ranked number one.
Think about that for a minute. I mean, there's been some good basketball in the Big 8 and Big 6 or whatever else was around back then, and now into the Big 12, and to think that they've done home and homes with some awfully good teams over the years. The fact that Kansas has not played on the road. Now, obviously, if you play in the Big 12, you played a lot of road games against number one because Kansas has been number one how many times over the last 30 years since Larry Brown took over. I mean, Kansas has been close to that since 1984, just about every year for the most part. But I would imagine yesterday's game probably trumps what Bill Ben would have said a couple of weeks ago. I think it's horrible timing for this team to play a big Monday game tomorrow. Good news is it's at home against a team that you should handle, but you mentioned what Kanitra said, and I don't doubt it. I mean, the post-game interviews with those guys, I mean, they look worn out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what they've got in the tank tomorrow because, boy, last thing you want to do is turn around and slip up tomorrow after such a monster win. Yesterday down in Waco.
Yeah, they get Oklahoma State on Big Monday, and Oklahoma State coming off a win in the in their rivalry game with Oklahoma, 83-66.
They're playing better.
They're playing better, and I can't. And Oklahoma State has played Baylor well. They played some other really good teams really well. Oklahoma, I can't figure out for the life of me. I think that's a program that's kind of at sea right now. They've got a coach who's probably getting near the finish line. I'm not sure he has a lot of energy left, but Oklahoma State presents a big challenge. But if you're Kansas and you can get your recovery done today and be as close to 100% as you can be this time of year, that's a game that they should win.
I'll say this. They did catch a break yesterday, and I know everybody was complaining about the start time. That game day game usually is late in the evening. Bill, he's talked about that before, too, at some of his press conferences, where Kane plays so many of these quick-turn games because they play on so many big Mondays. But if you play that, like, 7 or 8 o'clock game, and in particular if you're playing at, like, West Virginia, and you get it's really late out there, obviously. You add another hour. By the time you get to the plane, you get back, you're not getting back till super early in the morning. And then you really only have one night to kind of catch up and then play the big Monday game. I will say it seemed to be a huge advantage that game yesterday did tip off at 11 a.m. because now at least you're back at – they had to be back by 4 or 5 last night. Go get something to eat. And really kind of mentioned, go to bed. You think it'd be a big night to celebrate, but judging from what Kanitra said and how those guys looked in the postgame, there may not have been a huge celebration last night. It may have been more like, hey, let's just have fun with this one to ourselves and get out of here.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. Our guest is Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence, Kansas, talking about KU's win over Baylor. All right, let's get right down to it. Yudoka Azubuike, obviously the story of the night. Bill Self had all kinds of glowing comments, which he should after that performance, going 11 of 13 from the floor, career-high 19 rebounds, which after a while it was just like, okay, is he getting all the rebounds? Because that's what it looked like at one point. Also had 3 blocks. And I keep bringing this up, and I'm not comparing the players in terms of their games. I'm comparing these two players in terms of how do you stop them. Nobody last year had an answer for Zion Williamson, okay? And nobody this year, when Yudoka Azubuike is having an on game, nobody really has an answer. I mean, you don't have a lot of 6'10", 7-foot guys who roll out at 280 pounds who can just, you know, hang and bang with him. That's just not going to happen.
Credit the KU guards yesterday. How many of those were dunks of the 11 makes?
9.
Okay.
9
and
dunks.
How many on lobs?
Lobs and pick 9. And roll, and off the pick and roll, which was fantastic.
I mean, and you know, he had a couple, I think, putbacks, offensive rebound, and a dunk or two, and maybe one or two where they actually did throw it to him in the post with his back to the basket. But every one of those was just a perfect pass on the run. And that comes from 18, and Bill has admitted this over and over. He's like, this is not a very good passing team. We just don't, which was very evident in the last 15 seconds. But he, you know, he's worried about the team, and you know, it's just one of those things where you feel like if you had a great passing team and a couple of those guards from the past that were really good, how many of these lobs Doak would have? But how about some credit to him? He lost so much weight. He's in so much better shape. I cannot even – the last couple of years – no chance he would have played 36 minutes in that game like he did last night. And not just that, but the pace of that game, even though the score wasn't high, but the pace of the game, Brad, and the fact that you mentioned it, the pick and roll. So he's at the top of the key, how much? And then turning and running to the basket. I mean, he's not just camping out down low and resting on offense waiting to get the ball. So the fact that he's in the kind of shape that can go 36 minutes and continue to run and move like he did yesterday and be just as good at the end as he was at the beginning. I mean, I know some people were speculating on social media and just kind of wondering when was the last time a Jayhawk had a performance like that in a game like that. And I know the name Nick Collison came up, and you probably remember it. A game at the Fieldhouse against Texas where Nick went for – I forget the numbers, but it was 20-something and 20-something, I think. And it was the game where Dick Vitale gave him a standing ovation in the final seconds because I think he finally fouled out kind of deal. And obviously, as a media member, that's a no-no. You're never supposed to do that, but that was a very special situation where, man, Nick was fantastic. And that's kind of the game that I've heard come up as far as that this might be the best big man game in a big-time game since Nick went crazy on Texas.
And speaking of broadcasters and the respect, I don't know if there's anybody more respected in the TV game than Jay Billis. I think he's fantastic. I've never heard anybody say anything negative about him. But during the course of the game, he said a couple of times he remarked it. how much better Udoka Azubuike is this year as opposed to last year. It's leaps and bounds different. And then you see why it was the smart decision for him to stay another year at Kansas, because there was all the speculation when he got hurt last year. Well, he might as well go to the NBA and get his money. He doesn't want to get hurt again. And he said, you know, I could use a little bit. And look, I'm drawing a blank on who coaches the big men at Kansas. But, you know, you look at Joel Embiid and all the guys over the years, and they just seem to do a good job. But the work that the coaches have done with him has paid off a thousand times over.
Well, I think it's the shape that he's gotten into now. He's quicker. He's lighter on his feet. He can run end to end. He can play 36 minutes. And when a guy can't play that long, and then when he was in the game at times, I felt like at the end that maybe he was tired. And so you didn't really maybe see all the abilities that Doak had. And not just yesterday, but the last couple of weeks, and certainly not the offensive performance in those other games, but defensively, the huge block shots that he had at the end of a couple of those games in the last couple of minutes, when that usually would have been gas time for Doak. I mean, he would have been just flat out done at that point in those kind of games. But man, yesterday he was a man on the court. No question that he was the best player in that game. And I think he said it afterwards. He felt like he had something to prove after the effort that he put out in the game here in Lawrence, when I think he was in heavy foul trouble really early.
And yep.
He just really wasn't much of a factor. And when he's going at that pace and can stay in the game, and now that KU has figured out this four guard lineup and not playing he and David McCormick together, which, while they're both really good players, obviously, the combination just didn't work. They didn't play very well together.
Right. And that's what they were doing last time they played against Baylor, and they made that change because they just figured out they couldn't do it.
And it was kind of in that game. I think if you look back, they played four guards a lot in that game. I want to say probably 30 minutes in the first matchup. So it's not like KU didn't play four guards in that one, but KU hadn't done it very much up to that point and hadn't really had the opportunity to those guys play together. And to kind of see them be able to do that the last few weeks. And certainly I think you got a team that's starting to peak. I don't think there's any question about that. And I think everyone would agree that a week before March, maybe that's a good time to start to peak a little bit. So we'll see. I assume when the polls come out tomorrow, we know who number one's going to be.
Yes.
And it's going to be the team here in Kansas. And it's been since 1958, since KU played a road number one or something. And now it'll be Oklahoma State will get a road number one 2 days later. So they didn't have to wait very long to do that. But tomorrow's game is one of those where, man, I think if you're that team, you don't care how many you went by, just find a way to win it. Because I worry that they may be a little sluggish coming out tomorrow. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but we'll see. It's a quick turnaround.
Absolutely. And Bill Self said, look, we can't rest now. We've basically got to run the table if we want to win, you know, at least a share of the Big 12 championship. They got Oklahoma State, then they got K-State in Manhattan, which the rematch of the brawl from earlier this year.
Can't wait to see the signs in that game. talk about signs stealing coming up in that one. Those signs in Manhattan should be
good. Yes, the fans over there will be a little bit excited. Then they'll have TCU, which, gosh, it's hard to get through any TCU game because it's just, I mean, to watch it as a fan because it's just not good. And then they finish against Texas Tech, and that'll be a good game. And Baylor has almost the exact same schedule down the stretch. The only difference is they get West Virginia at the finish instead of Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
and both on the road.
Yeah.
Both KU and West Virginia, I believe, are on the road in those games.
Yeah. I was going to mention one more thing on Doak, since we spent about 15 minutes on him. Part of the reason he was playing 36 minutes is because David McCormick put up one of the great lines, and I say that sarcastically.
Fouls per minute were high.
4 minutes and 10 seconds, 5 fouls, and 2 for 2 from the floor. That's really hard to be that active in 4 minutes.
Man, that's a lot of – I don't even – funny that he didn't foul out. I don't know about you, Brad, but I watched the entire game and I never really paid much attention to his fouls.
No,
I guess.
I didn't either.
When he did foul out, I was shocked.
Right.
I don't remember the other four really at all. They must have just happened and then he checked right back out, and yeah, it's not like they were crazy fouls, I guess, because I really don't recall any of them.
I don't either. I think you could also you could take this game in the last few games as well. If you're going to start looking at the postseason awards, I think you could make a fair case for either Udoka Azubuike or Devon Dotson. Devon Dotson plays 36 and a half minutes, 5 of 11 from the floor for 13 points, 3 assists, a couple of turnovers, a couple of steals, and I think you can make a case for either one of them, honestly.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how voters voted that, and certainly there's a couple weeks to go. You know, if either of if Kansas or Baylor shares the title, then you are going to have to make a decision. If one of those teams does slip up and the other one happens to win the title outright, then you probably just give it to who you think the best player is on, you know, either Baylor or Kansas. But between those two, you know, it was interesting when Doak got the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year a nod. And it kind of surprised me a little bit just because we hadn't really seen that Doak play
right
consistently. And certainly didn't start the season off like that. But you can win awards by having great finishes. I mean, how many kids have we seen, you know, make it a run in the NCAA tournament? You get named a Final Four MVP, and next thing you know, you're the number 3 pick in the draft when nobody even had you on the draft board,
right,
you know, 2.5 months earlier. And so
I'm pretty sure Ja Morant got a little bonus from his tournament performance.
Oh, absolutely, and that's, you know, maybe they're in a kind of a situation like that now where one of those guys really emerges, and Doak seems to be the guy that's starting to emerge and obviously had a little edge on him yesterday maybe that we hadn't seen before. Man, you know, you got the leading scorer in the Big 12 on your team. I'm not a voter, and quite honestly, if you had to vote today, it'd be hard. It'd be really hard to pick 3 or 4 of those guys that are there at the top. But we'll let it play out. And as you mentioned, though, Brad, I mean, obviously, two Jayhawks are going to be those two guys. They're going to be first team All Big 12.
Yeah,
I don't think there'll be any question about that. But the question is, I mean, it's hard to pick who maybe the team MVP is, much less the best player in the Big 12.
It's a good problem to have.
I mean, would it be Devon or would it be Doak right now? Devon maybe because he's been a little bit more consistent. But like I said, Doak's coming on strong, and I anticipate this will be the Doak you see for quite some time. And my guess is you'll see a lot of pick and rolls over the next month.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't think there's going to be any argument that over the defensive player of the year. That's going to be Marcus Garrett. And look, he didn't have a great night shooting, and he's not the best shooter in the world. He's more of a driver than a shooter. But his defensive stops are just ridiculous sometimes. The player I'm most curious to see how he impacts the team come both in the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament is Isaiah Moss. And look, I'm partial to the kid because I'm an Iowa fan. And when he made the grad transfer, I was like, all right, kid's a shooter. It took him a while. He wasn't with the team during the summer, and it took him a while to fill in, and he had some very inconsistent up and down weeks. But he's come on lately, and he hit 4 of 9 shots yesterday, only 1 of 4 from downtown, which I would like to see a little bit better. But that's a player who in the tournament might be able to make you a couple of big shots here and there, maybe 2 a game, maybe 3 a game, that help you get a win in a close game.
He is an interesting guy. And
yes.
Still, to be fair to Moss, Bill kind of has said this a couple times. He said, you know, for whatever reason, it's like it always kind of takes guys about a year to figure me out as a coach. And he said it sometimes takes kind of me a year out to figure you out as a player. And in normal cases, that's fine. But it's not when you're a senior grad transfer. He said, you've only got 1 year, and Bill was pretty honest and kind of took some of the, you know, some of the heat on that. He's like, you know, I'm the one that has to figure this thing out too. And so we got to get more out of him. Here's the thing I think on Isaiah, though. If Kansas does make a run to the Final Four, and so however they do, there's always a game or two where one guy can get hot and he can win the game for you. And Isaiah Moss seems like the perfect guy to where here they are in the Sweet 16, everybody else is struggling, and maybe he goes 6 of 9 from long range, right? And he wins the game. He guts out one of those tough ones because of him shooting. It's just a good matchup. He's able to get free. And, you know, his struggle now is everybody knows that that's what he's in the game to do. He's in there to shoot the three. And it's I think it's been kind of hard for him to get some of those off. But, man, he's just one of those pieces that if you're going to make a Final Four run, you got to have a guy like that. And if he didn't transfer, I mean, think about that. I mean, Kenny doesn't really have a guy at all that can do that. I mean, sure,
right.
Christian, but he's still a freshman and in a pressure situation in the tournament, and we've already seen it. It's tough for Christian's had trouble getting some shots off here lately. But Moss could be that guy. Maybe he wins a tournament game for you and then hits a couple of big ones in a Final Four game. And my question maybe to you, Brad, is how much did you watch him at Iowa? And does he resemble the guy that played there here now at all? Are they even similar? Or does he have a long – is his ceiling much higher than what we've seen when he's been at his best?
I think his ceiling is higher. At Iowa, he played with a lot more confidence. I mean, he was the guy. So he had a little more confidence. I think when you transfer from a team like Iowa, who's a top 25 team, and they'll have a decent seed in the NCAA tournament, they're getting better. When you transfer from Iowa to Kansas, that's a different level. That's like going from, you know, the Orlando Magic to the Milwaukee Bucks. Different, same league, but very different expectations. So that might be part of it. But I think if he keeps shooting like he has been in the last week or so, I think he could be that guy who steps up in a big game.
And certainly he's getting a lot more minutes than
yes.
he did at the start. I mean, the Bill has trusted him now. He's the guy in the starting lineup. They tinkered there with Christian Brown for a little bit. And he did. He had a couple big shots. I know you said, one for four yesterday. But one of those twos that he hit, his foot was on the line. And so that's maybe closer to a two for five. And while that's still not a ton of made threes, 40%, knock down two of five, that's going to be really a good number moving forward for him. And so I'm sure that's something that Bill's been working on and trying to figure out how they can get more shots for him. And I know that I think that last shot right before halftime, I think that was set up
yep.
here the last week for him. You know, that little, they set the screen and then Isaiah kind of, you know, weaves his way back into the back corner. And I think he had his shot blocked here. But, I mean, they have play set for him. They're actively trying to get him more shots and more involved. And so, but I just keep thinking, if this team makes a run, there's going to be an Isaiah Moss game where he's the story. We talk so much about Devon. We talk so much about Udoka. We talk about Marcus making all the defensive plays. But I feel like there's going to be a post game and around the Sweet 16 somewhere where Isaiah goes off and hits a ton of threes and it's his game. And he's the reason that Kansas keeps maybe a late March run alive.
You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. Our guest is Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence, Kansas. All right, a couple of final things for you, Kevin. Three of the top four teams go down yesterday. Baylor to Kansas, obviously. Gonzaga goes down to BYU. And by the way, I don't want to face BYU in the NCAA tournament. Man, they were throwing haymakers at Gonzaga yesterday. And San Diego State goes down yesterday. So I was checking Joe Lunardi's bracketology on ESPN.com. It's not updated.
Interesting.
It's not updated as of yet.
Yeah.
And I assume they have to wait because the Big Ten always plays on Sunday. So I'm assuming they have to wait for some he's got to wait for some Big Ten teams to come in. So if you take out going into the games yesterday, Baylor, Gonzaga, Kansas, and San Diego State were all one seeds. After what happened yesterday, you're looking at the possibility of a Dayton getting in there as a one, maybe a Duke getting back in as a one, and former Jayhawk Mark Turgeon and his Maryland Terrapins could get a one, and maybe even a Florida State could slide in there for crying out loud.
Wow. Clearly, Kansas and Baylor are one and two.
Yeah.
And unless something crazy, they're going to get one season, I'm sure, even if it's not the top two. We saw Dayton play, right?
Over yep.
Toppin is legit. There's no reason am I convinced they're not a one and two seed? Absolutely not. I think Dayton is. That game in Hawaii was amazing with Kansas. You know, Kansas lost to Duke by one possession at the very end. Clearly those teams are very different now, but hard to argue that there's a whole lot of difference between Kansas, Baylor, and Duke. You mentioned a couple other names. I think maybe the champ of the ACC, we'll wait and see who ends up coming out of that conference here with a couple weeks to go.
We know it's not going to be North Carolina.
Man, you believe what's happening. Imagine, we're talking about this in the office the other day, you know, people, how crazy people are in Lawrence about basketball. Imagine if Kansas was suffering through that season right now.
Oh, be brutal.
People would be, oh my gosh, they'd be lined up on the bridge.
And I've said this before this season. You remember Roy Williams had that press conference maybe about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, where he apologized to every North Carolina student going back to the foundation of the school because they had such an awful performance. And he's had a couple of press conferences.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he's had a couple of these press conferences where I'm like, you know, are you okay, Roy? And I know he takes it personally when they lose, but man, this season has been a disaster. They're not going to make the NCAA tournament. I don't even know if they make the NIT.
No, they're way below 500. And he did lose his mind. He dropped an expletive in front of everyone. Remember here, it was all, gosh darn, Roy.
Yep, aw shucks.
Bad words until after the national title game against Syracuse when he says he didn't give a blank about North Carolina.
And right.
You know, a couple days later, cared a lot about Carolina. But right. Yeah, I mean, you know, he dropped a big one the other day. The frustration level, it's catching up with him. And, you know, it's one of those things, I think if you look at the McDonald's All-American list, they're going to be just fine next year.
Yes,
they've got several. I don't remember how many, but I remember looking at the list and thinking that they had a few coming in. So it won't be long till they're back. But it's amazing. It just tells you how hard it is. And amazing what Bill Self and Roy were able to do at Kansas when they were there. I mean, it's been, what now, 30-whatever straight years, really, with a great team since Larry Brown took over. And I know they missed the tournament in Roy's first year because of the probation. But let's be honest. I mean, the streak would have they would have made the tournament that year. They wouldn't have been a very high seed, but they would have been in. But it just tells you how hard it is. Duke's missed the tournament in that time. Carolina's missed the tournament in that time. Kentucky's missed the tournament. I mean, everybody's missed the tournament in that time, and Kansas just keeps on chugging along. It is amazing.
All right, Kevin, a couple of fun non-basketball questions to wrap up with. There are times when I think Twitter, when I got on Twitter, I don't know what it was, 9-10 years ago, I always thought of it as the ultimate sports bar, where people are just, you know, commenting wildly about the games and events and players. And it was really fun when I first started. Lately, Twitter to me has become sort of a cesspool. It's
more of a restroom than a sports bar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and not a clean one either. Just there's so much
gas station restroom
in the middle of nowhere. There's so much negativity. But last night there was we haven't had a boxing match on the level of Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder in a long time. And it was talked about all week. ESPN promoted the heck out of it because they had the property, ESPN Plus. And it was kind of fun last night following the boxing match. I didn't buy it because I can't really afford $80 for a boxing match, but okay.
Yeah.
But it was fun to follow it. And I followed Stephen St. John because he's a huge boxing fan. So I'll ask you this about the match. And for people listening, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is going to sound gross. But if you look it up, then you'll figure out what I'm talking about. Kevin, playing sports growing up, did you ever feel compelled to lick blood off an opponent?
Well, you've seen me in person, so clearly boxing was never going to be anything that I was going to be involved in.
Me neither.
Anything that was going to be that physical, clearly no. I played a lot of golf and tennis growing up. That tells you anything.
I remember the, you know, Mike Tyson biting off Evander Holyfield's ear, not his whole ear, just a chunk of it, and then spitting it out. I remember that.
A big chunk, actually.
It was a good chunk, and they found it and they sewed it back on. But last night with Tyson Fury going after Wilder, and Wilder's got blood coming out of his ear, and Tyson Fury decides he's gonna lick some blood. That's a little strange to me.
I saw the results this morning. I didn't quite make it awake last night to hear the finish. I didn't buy it, but I was a boxing fan for a long time. But clearly, the mixed martial arts scene has kind of taken over that. And but at least boxing does now have the one thing it needs to be relevant. And that is a heavyweight division that people care about.
Yes.
And those two guys, compare them with what Anthony Joshua. I mean, those three guys can. I mean, maybe they can resuscitate boxing at some level. I know, huge hype. You know, on the fight last night, it sounds like Fury was pretty darn good in that seventh round. He just ended it. From everything I read, he was a much different fighter last night than he was in their first matchup. He was much more aggressive last night, really trying to land some power punches.
Yep, but he came out during the week and said, I'm going right at him, and that's exactly what he did.
But I guess to follow what you said, I'll never be surprised what happens in some of these boxing matches.
All right.
And I'll never forget watching Tyson go down when I was in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Over in Tokyo, and
yep.
Buster got him. It was a shock of the world, and we couldn't believe it watching it back when back when fights were just like on regular cable. I think that was on like HBO or Showtime. And,
yeah.
And we had that, so it was simple to watch them. And to think maybe that boxing's coming back, we'll see. But it probably doesn't need weird stuff like that to happen again, where we're licking blood and biting ears. And I don't know if that's great.
Yeah, I remember that when Tyson got knocked out, we actually had my history teacher brought in the VHS cassette to show it to us because it was a, quote, historic event, and it gave us a reason to blow off class.
And all great
day.
Historic events are on VHS tapes.
There we go, yes. Okay, final thing for you, final non-basketball thing for you, Kevin. If you saw the story last night, the Carolina Hurricanes playing the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I always knew hockey had an emergency goalkeeper. I didn't know how it worked, though. So apparently at every game, there's an emergency goalkeeper who can play for either team if they lose all their goalkeepers. I didn't know this. So this game's in Toronto last night. Carolina's starting goalkeeper gets run over in his own net. He's out of the game. They bring in the second guy. He decides to skate 30 feet outside of his net. He gets steamrolled by a player from Toronto. And all of a sudden it's, oh, crap. We're down to the emergency goalkeeper, who happens to be 42 years old and is the Zamboni driver for the Maple Leafs minor league team. He played some goalkeeper on a minor league level, but hadn't started since like 2015 or 16. He comes in, immediately gives up two goals, and then he bounces back in the third period and holds them off, and they get a win with a 42-year-old Zamboni driver. I mean, that's crazy.
That's really how it works? That's
yes.
To me. I had no idea. Why on earth wouldn't you just pad up one of the other guys on your roster to go and try? I mean, there has to be. Some of those guys had to have played goalie, right, when they were in eighth grade or something?
You would think. And one of my kids said,
on your league?
One of my kids said,
my mind.
Because we're big soccer fans. One of my kids says, you know, sometimes you lose a couple of goalkeepers in a soccer game, and a defender has to play. And he said, why wouldn't they do that? And I said, I don't know. Like, it's hockey's a different animal. But I thought it was fantastic.
You can play for either team?
Yeah, you can play. They showed the video of the locker room, and I'm coming up on a break here. They showed the video in the locker room. They had two jerseys laid out, one for Carolina, one for Toronto. And they had the letters for his name laid out, so if he had to go in, they could iron them on real quick. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, crap.
They're just iron-on letters?
Yeah, so they're like, oh, crap. Like iron on the letters, and he comes out. So he skates out, and he's got to play for the Hurricanes. He's got a Hurricanes jersey on, but he's got blue Toronto Maple Leafs pants, the hockey pants, and he's got his helmet from his minor league days. Nothing matches, and it looks hilarious, but it was just a fantastic story.
It's like real-life Slapshot.
Yes!
It's the actual movie. This is fantastic. I had totally news to me. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Go look it up. And that was another great thing about Twitter last night, because I didn't know what was going on last night, and I got on Twitter for a few minutes. I'm like, the hell is this? A 42-year-old Zamboni driver's playing goalie for the Carolina? Okay, I'm down with that. Totally cool. And then after the game.
So there's still a chance for guys like you and me.
I was going to say.
He's in the neighborhood of our age. We're a little bit older than him, but we're in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I'm a couple of years older, and I'm pretty sure that would not end well for me.
Oh,
at
man,
any level.
Hilarious.
I just can't imagine. I can't imagine any other sport like the NBA or Major League Soccer or baseball, the National Football League, where you have an emergency linebacker or an emergency
guy out of the crowd, basically.
Catcher, and he just comes out and plays in a professional game. It's just unbelievable.
hadn't it happened a couple times in like, I feel like recently I read a story where a kid that was attending school at a college, they just picked him out of the stands to be a kicker or something in a game.
Oh, I think I've seen that happen, but not at the professional
like
level.
Yeah, and clearly you can only play for one team in that scenario.
Right.
I don't guess if you're not attending the other school, they'd let you go kick for them.
No.
It was a
wild day in sports with three of the top four college basketball teams going down, KU getting a big win, Tyson Fury beating Deontay Wilder, 42-year-old goalkeeper Zamboni driver gets a win. It was a fun day in sports. So,
well, and I heard you earlier, so you're going to talk golf later. WGC down in Mexico, and hey, former Jayhawk Gary Woodland fired a 6-under yesterday. He's just doing what he does.
Did he? Did I see?
Sneaks to the top.
I don't mean
to. He's probably it's probably too far back to make a serious run today, but
right.
Have another great weekend. And hard to believe that one of the best golfers in the world now is from right here. You know, grew up in Topeka and played at KU.
Did I see it correctly a couple of weeks ago? It was a big tournament, and did he drive a ball like 420 yards or something?
I didn't see anything on that, but that wouldn't be surprising.
Good gravy!
I've covered Gary for quite some time, and been around a couple times where he's been in kind of junior clinics where a couple of kids have asked him and said, "Hey, who's the longest hitter on the tour?" And Gary will kind of smile and like, it's me.
That'd be me.
It's like if I want to really let her go, which he doesn't do very often.
No,
he doesn't really just go after it, and that's one of the reasons he's been so successful here the last couple of years, because he did dial it back just a little bit, because he doesn't have to go full speed ahead with the driver. It's clearly more important to keep the ball in play, and even Gary at 75% is longer than 96% of the people on the PGA Tour, not just in regular golf. And so, but he always kind of said, you know, if we ever had to have a competition somewhere and I was really going to let it go, Gary, I think if he had to put money on somebody, he'd put it on himself in that scenario.
I swear the longest drive I've ever seen in person was many years ago when Tom Watson used to have the Children's Mercy Classic at a Blue Hills Country Club, and he'd bring in three big-name golfers every year. And mm-hmm. It was fantastic. I got to cover it a number of times. One year he brings in John Daly, and this is at the height of John Daly's popularity. He was probably coming off one of his PGA championships or something. And John Daly pulls out the driver and knocked it over a tree line into the neighborhood, and they estimated it went close to 500 yards. It was just maybe not on the fly, but holy smoke. I couldn't believe it. When he hit it, I was like, oh, I've never seen that before.
Bounced over a couple streets. Next thing you know, it's 500 yards.
Right. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate you getting up with us early on a Sunday. Talk some KU and college basketball, a little boxing, a little golf, a little hockey. I think we hit everything there.
A lot going on. And then you mentioned, too, Patrick Mahomes. What's he going to sign for?
$11 billion. And he and Travis Kelce were at the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight last night. They're rock stars now, right?
They are. They're the dynamic duo, and man, they dress dynamite. That's
yes. And neither you nor I could pull off what they're trying to wear. It's not a chance. All right, hey Kevin, thank you very much. I appreciate your time so much, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Always fun, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Kevin Romery, our good friend from Midco Sports in Lawrence, Kansas. KU with the big road win over number one Baylor last night, 64-61. And we hit everything there. We hit so much that I am so overdue on a break. Blake, I cannot believe you weren't yelling at me at some point. But we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. I got a whole list of stuff here. It was a great day in sports yesterday in terms of entertainment, thrill factor, the range of sports, from college basketball to boxing to the hockey story, just all of it. It was a great day in sports. So quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You've heard us talk about CBD, and here's your chance to learn more. Tune in to Sports Radio 810 every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. or ESPN Kansas City Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. for CBDNU, presented by CBD American Shaman. You'll hear why so many people are switching to all-natural CBD. It's CBDNU, presented by CBD American Shaman. Sundays on Sports Radio 810 from 7 to 8 a.m. and Wednesdays on ESPN Kansas City from 3 to 4 p.m.
Olathe Kia's blowout sale. All new 2019 Fortes and Optimas are reduced up to $6,000 off invoice. Our loss is your gain. Save up to $6,000 off. Be the first to drive away with a deal of a decade. When they're gone, they're gone. Available now at olathekia.com or visit us at I-35 in Santa Fe.
Gonna get a good deal, I guarantee ya. See ya at Olathe Kia.
Have you tried DrinkWorks yet? It's ice cold, delicious, and has fantastic flavors. And best of all, you have it at home with your DrinkWorks cocktail machine. With March Madness right around the corner, now's the perfect time to bring the bar home. It works just like a fancy automatic espresso machine. Press a button and the machine does the rest. Only it's premium cocktails and not coffee. From old fashions to Moscow mules or margaritas and cosmopolitans, even beers and sangria. It's the perfect way to try an old favorite or find a new one. In 60 seconds, you'll have an ice-cold cocktail or mixed drink with no shopping or messy cleanup. Plus, DrinkWorks will give you 3 months to try it out, and if you don't love it, they'll give you a full refund. No questions asked. The only way to get this amazing drink maker with free shipping and a 90-day guarantee is to go online to DrinkWorks.com. That's DrinkWorks.com. No need to use a code. The best deal is already included. Don't wait. This amazing offer won't last. That's DrinkWorks.com. And remember, please enjoy responsibly.
Your home for the best Chiefs coverage, Sports Radio 810 WHB, is headed to the NFL Combine. Hey, everybody, it's Corey Anderson, and I'll be live in Indianapolis as the stars of college football showcase their skills, hoping to fulfill their NFL dreams. We'll bring you a conversation with Chiefs head coach Andy Reid and general manager Brett Veach, and we'll bring you all the latest on the local guys trying to make it into the NFL. Keep it right here for the best Chiefs coverage on your home for the NFL, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chiefs fans, don't miss your chance to pick up your free Sports Radio 810 WHB Super Bowl Champions Magazine. Continue celebrating your world champion Chiefs kingdom with this full-color collector's edition keepsake. Read Matt Derrick's article about the comeback Chiefs drawing their fire from Mahomes, a Super Bowl 54 recap, and what this victory means to Kansas City. The Sports Radio 810 WHB Super Bowl Champions Magazine is available free at participating Hen House and Big O Tire location. Pick up your copy today.
This is your moment to take the path less traveled, to break the status quo, to stop talking about the problem and be the solution. This is your moment to shape the future. This is your moment to be the greater good. Join America.
Sponsored by the Missouri Community Service Commission and the Corporation for National and Community Service.
Every weekday on Sports Radio 810, tune in to hear Kansas City's favorite local lineup. At 6 a.m., wake up with the Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. At 10, it's The Zone with Jason Anderson. Now at 2, get into the program with Soren Petro. And wrap up your day on Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Time for an oil change? Don't sweat it. We've got the deals to help you get even more out of that tax return and get ready to take care of that oil change, like 5 quarts of STP high mileage motor oil and an STP oil filter for just $21.99. And next time, you can get what you need even faster. Just order online at AutoZone.com with our free same day store pickup. Getting your job done just got easier. Restrictions apply.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Yo, yo, so what's the scenario?
See, I'm not, I'm old, but I'm not old old, right? Have you ever gone down the Muppet Show rabbit hole with this song?
I did not know there was such a thing.
Go to YouTube and look up Muppets and Tribe Called Quest.
Okay.
And then you'll go down to I don't know who edits these videos, but they take clips from the Muppet Show to make it look like they're singing the song, and it's freaking hilarious. I'm supposed to stop saying freaking on the radio. My dad doesn't like it.
Oh,
he said it sounds like you're going to say something else.
So I said,
I'm trying not to do that as much.
One of the first times I was on Sterling's show, I said hell, and my mom.
Oh boy,
my mom was like, "You said that on the radio."
Parents hold you accountable, man.
They do. They do. Well, that's good though. They're doing their job.
Yeah. He said it. My dad said it sounds unprofessional when you do that. I'll take it. But yeah, go down to YouTube, and there's a whole bunch of videos. There's one for the Beastie Boys. There's Tribe Called Quest. There's Warren G and Nate Dogg. Just it's hilarious because you know they're not actually – the Muppet Show is not actually – they're not doing those songs on the show, but the way it's edited looks like they, they could be singing the songs.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Well, and they are probably the best characters to do it because they're all willy-nilly.
Yes. Yes. It's quite funny. God, now I'm going to laugh about it because you played that song.
I've got a homework assignment now.
There
I appreciate
you go.
It.
See?
I haven't had homework for like 3 years.
See, I'm doing what a good parent should do. I'm giving you homework.
There you go. Something
to do to occupy your mind so you're not wasting time on other dumb stuff, right?
I agree.
This is Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Cranking out those 50,000 watts. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. We just wrapped up with Kevin Romery, where we hit every topic. Every one of them. We hit KU. We hit Big 12. We talked all of college basketball. We talked Patrick Mahomes and being at the boxing match last night. We talked about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. We talked a little golf, the WGC Mexico Championship. Are you a golfer at all, Blake?
I am a golfer, yes.
Okay. Are you any good?
I can hang.
Okay.
I can hang. I can drive the absolute crud out of the ball.
I figured. I mean, you're still a young guy.
Yeah.
I can't.
I can drive good, and I fancy myself a pretty good putter. My in-between game really needs some work. So any golf pros out there, give me a call.
I consider myself a terrible driver of the ball. Which is why when we play golf as a family, we go to the par 3 over at Heart of America, the rock course over there, because I don't need anything bigger than a 6-iron. And that's what I used to get my one hole in one in my life. And it was a total, I fell ass backwards into it. There was no skill involved. So if you're familiar with the Heart of America golf course, the par 3 over there, the 6th hole has an elevated hole. So you're teeing off, but you got to walk uphill, like there's an incline of, 50 yards, something like that. So the hole is high up in the air. And so there's a rock retaining wall around that hole because there's woods all around it. It's beautiful for a par 3. And I pull out a 6-iron, which someone who's really good at golf would probably only need a 9 or an 8 on that hole. But I hit it up there, and it bounced off the rock retaining wall, which I do 90% of the time on that hole. And I'm like, okay, I guess that'll be down the hill somewhere. We'll find it. And my kids go up to the top of the hill, and they come running down. They're like, Dad, you knocked it in the hole. You got a hole in one. And I was like, come on. They're like, no, go look. And there it was. Total accident. And the fact that it's an elevated hole that you can't really see from where you're teeing off, I didn't see it. But I got it.
So did you tell the golf pros?
I did.
That's what you did?
I did. They put it in the newspaper. The
really?
City, the Kansas City
Did they
City
give
Star?
You like a, one round free or anything? Or
no.
They didn't think it was that impressive.
No. Not on a par 3.
So,
although the rule is you're supposed to buy drinks for everybody in the clubhouse if you get a hole in one, and there was nobody in the clubhouse.
So nobody wanted to celebrate with you? I feel like that's backwards. If you get the hole in one, shouldn't everybody buy you a drink?
No, that's not the rule.
Huh.
You're supposed to buy a round for everybody in the clubhouse if you get a hole-in-one. But nobody was in there. There's the golf pro and I think the person running the lunch counter. That was about it.
So is the 6-iron now, is that like, are you going to be like 10 cup where you only use the
6-iron?
I use
that every time I'm on that hole and I still have never come close.
Ah.
It's probably like the worst hole I play now because I keep thinking, oh, I got another shot. Got another shot.
My dad has a crazy story about one time where he, on about a par 4, launched one about an inch from the hole.
Right.
Well, he starts walking down to the, seat on the green. He's like, oh, man, I'm so close. A dog runs across the green, picks up his ball, goes over to the sand trap, drops it in the sand trap.
Oh, so what's the rule on that? Rule?
Yeah, play it where it lies. If you've seen Happy Gilmore, play it where it lies.
Golf has some complicated rules. I don't generally play by the rules. 1 minute. Blake just gave me the 1 minute sign. I was out at... speaking of Tom Watson, who we were talking about in the last segment, I took my oldest to a clinic with Tom Watson years ago at Heart of America. I think it was part of the first tee program. And he said, look, when you're learning how to play the game and you're not very good, if your ball is in some heavy or deep rough, just walk it out to the fairway. You're not learning anything if you're 9, 10, 11, 12 years old and you're trying to hit out a deep rough. You're not learning the game. And he said, if you're in the fairway, tee it up.
I definitely don't do the fairway tee up, but even now, if I'm in some thick stuff and I really am trying to work on some stuff, I'll just kick it back out to at least a playable spot. Not kick it back into the middle so much, but definitely.
I'm not very good, so it's not going to affect my score. I'm not beating anybody. So
I also usually have to bring about 25 balls with me because I'll only end up with one at the end.
Yep. All right, we're coming up on a break here. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Blake Schneiders is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.